for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground. Welcome back, everyone. We are the Pleb Underground YouTube show. My co-host, Walton, and I'm Coin Icarus, and we are going to dive into the shitcoin corner, the hopium, but first, the numbers.
The numbers, of course. This is episode 11, or for our Spanish speakers, Once. Now, Once is actually the Spanish lottery, and I know for many of our viewers, watching Pleb Underground feels like winning the lottery. And many say that, you know, winning the lottery in slow motion is what buying and stacking Bitcoin is about, is that you know eventually you're going to win, but it takes a long time to get that win. So, yeah, keep stacking, guys. But the numbers this week, of course, are brought to us by timechainstats.com. That's timechainstats.com. Phil, how are the numbers?
Dude, I am totally taken aback by that philosophical take. Very nice. All right. At the time of this recording, the block height is 760,009. The Bitcoin price, 19,490. The total public lightning capacity, 5,083.82. Moscow time, 51:31. That's right. You're still getting over 5K sats to the dollar. And chain rewrite days. Dude, chain rewrite days bumped up. 755. Those are the numbers. We are not impressed, but we're still going to give them to you every week. What are your thoughts, so Walton? before we dive into the dramatic shit show that occurred this week.
So there's been a lot of speculation about the increased hash rate recently, and little birdie told me that there was a mining company that just had a new deployment of quite a serious operation, and so that's one significant reason why there was a recent kind of bump in hash rate that many were confused by, given the timing of the relatively low hash price. You know, Bitcoin being relatively low in dollar terms, and electricity prices surging, many were confused. But this is a new significant operation deployed, many thousand miners.
Very interesting, because I also saw a tweet from Dylan LeClaire that alluded to the same thing. Of course, the tweet that he put out had a bit of a different spin to it, more to the fact that essentially miner capitulation is around the corner, or that miners are in serious pain, and this is why they are deploying more miners. I don't know. I thought that was a kind of... Anyways, I might not be understanding something. You know what I mean? And that's perfectly fine. But I see now that there's two sources where we're hearing these rumors, and that's very interesting.
This is very much not a rumor. I'm getting this.
Oh, it's not a rumor.
This is insider information from someone very deep in the Bitcoin mining industry.
All right, good stuff. But we can't say who it is. All right, so we're those people now, right? We can't say who it is, but we're saying trust us.
No, if you wanna reach out to me and ask me, then maybe I might be able to reveal more. But no, not at this time. I can't reveal all the sources.
Okay, Walton, let's get some. We're gonna move away from the rumor signal, and we're gonna move towards the cringe and funny. All right, here we go. We're gonna take a look there. I'm pretty sure that most Bitcoiners saw this clip this week from BitBoy. But if you didn't, we are going to share the beginning of it, and obviously the link to the full clip is going to be in the show notes. This is a tweet from Camilla Campton, and man, we have seen some really, really ridiculous memes come out of this. But anyways, I digress. Let's show this video. Here we go.
He's called BitBoy for a reason, right?
What did I call him? Oh, okay.
It's not Bitman, you know? What is this child up to this week?
But I want this guy right here. Ryan Sean Adams. I don't know who the F you are, because you're not important, But here he says, piano. Please, dear Lord, and any lawmakers or adults reading this tweet, just know BitBoy doesn't represent this either. Talk to Jay Stravinsky. Talk to Miller CWL. Talk to Coin Center. You know what? We are tired of people that look like this guy trying to run stuff. I don't represent the people. The fuck I don't. I'm the one who does. It's me. I'm the one out here putting the work in behind the scenes trying to save crypto while these devils, Sam Bankman-Fried, Brian Armstrong, they're trying to permanently ruin it. This is not about money for me. I hope you guys understand this. I am here fighting for you. This guy with these freaking glasses on, this douchebag.
I'm sorry. Okay, we have to stop it there. We have to stop it there. You can watch the whole clip if you want. All right, before I give my thoughts, Walton, what are your thoughts on this video?
I mean, where do we start? So, someone that looks like BitBoy Crypto probably shouldn't be pointing out how other people look, for starters. But ad hominems are kind of pointless in the what are we talking about here? I think BitBoy Crypto is clearly jealous of some maybe Ethereum insiders that he's not one of. But he is an XRP shill. He's certainly not for the people. I don't really understand how he could be saving crypto, nor should it be something that should be saved. The true point of crypto, which is nothing that crypto actually does, is to have rights that are essentially enforced cryptographically, and Bitcoin is the only one that actually does that. So yeah, it's all nonsense. These are monkeys flinging feces at each other.
That's, you know what? I think that is a great point. This is just monkeys throwing feces at each other. Okay, so look, was not impressed with the immediate ad hominem attack. Which, don't get me wrong. For those of us that clown and troll Ryan Sean Adams, you know that there is tons of arguments that he makes that you could dismantle without ever having to do an ad hominem attack on him. Okay, he said plenty of stupid shit where you could just argue the points themselves. You don't even have to say anything about him. So I thought that was funny. The other piece to this is that, on one hand, he's screaming about standing up for, for us, for you, the little guy, but yet he sells shitcoin shilling services. Right. Which, we're actually going to be able to, we can show you we could actually show you the price, the right, price list, like right here. We'll put it right
for
here.
A shill or something.
Sorry.
Like 30 grand or something for a shill.
We're going to pull it up. We're going to pull it up so that everybody can see
we'll pull
it.
The numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So this is just absolutely hilarious that this was the path that he took. And then on top of that, he went the Alex Jones rant route, which, don't get me wrong, it works for Alex Jones, somewhat. Right now, people will find that very debatable, for the amount of money that he's being asked for. But I'm just saying, for the most part, at least for a better part of 20 years, it worked for him. But I just don't see this working for BitBoy. I really, really don't. And to your point, he shills XRP, okay? XRP, which is issued by the Ripple, by the Ripple company, the Ripple Corporation. Okay. And not only that, but it has absolutely no reason to exist in any way, shape, or form except to keep the lights on at Ripple Labs. Literally, they dump it every time it pumps in order to keep the lights on. So this is just absolute nonsense. And this guy's pretending that he's here for the people. I don't even know what to say. That is just absolute wrecked.
Maybe what I could share would be actually just a further message from BitBoy.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of memes that came out, huh?
Yeah, let me just share this here. So,
look, can I just say something to the Bitcoin maximalists? I just want to say something to Bitcoin maximalists. I give you a hard time. I do. I feel like a lot of stuff you say is toxic. Hey, why? because my audience isn't Bitcoin maximalists, and it feels like personal attacks. They're not bad people. People that invest in altcoins are not bad people, right? A lot of you guys got in Bitcoin very early. And so you don't need anything else to win. You've already won. The people still need to win. And I think the best way for them to do that is through accumulating altcoins. And then I always tell everybody, if you have enough to buy one Bitcoin, you want to own at least one Bitcoin. And then you can use altcoins to get up to that, but you want to own a Bitcoin. I'm on your side.
He wants to own your Bitcoin.
This guy's nuts.
Remember this. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. We have the same enemy. We have the same enemy. We're not each other's enemies. And so I'm going to try my best to make a concentrated effort to not throw the Bitcoin maximalists. When we say Bitcoin maximalists, we're mostly talking about people that have been in Bitcoin for like 7 or 8 years at least.
Nope.
So that's not exactly true.
Let's join together. No. Let's drop the tribalism. And let's fight who needs to be fought against. Let's fight for the rights of the people together. Let's do it.
Go fuck yourself.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
No, we do not.
This channel has educated more people on crypto and has created more millionaires than any other channel in the history of crypto. That's a guarantee. Not crypto. We made more millionaires than probably any other channel that exists on YouTube.
And probably most colleges.
100%. And also, by the way, we probably reduced the number of millionaires more than any other year this year. I mean, fact, you get the honesty, you know, we did.
So, Shitcoin is a sociopath, psychopaths. Like, they just have no morals with regards to making money. It's about, you know, lying and then watching the world burn. As long as they do well.
He made a very dangerous comment. He created the assumption.
Going down, this guy. No, this guy's already being sued for a bunch of stuff.
Dude, he created the assumption that Bitcoiners, perceive quote unquote altcoiners as bad people. Okay. That is ridiculous. That is total ridiculous nonsense. This is not a judgment about the type of a human being. Okay, this is understanding the difference between the true scarcest asset and an affinity scam. Okay.
But also, Phil, I think the terminology is confusing because when we say shitcoiners, do we mean the people that own shitcoins or do we mean the people that are kind of shilling shitcoins or the kind of influencer types? And I think this is where the terminology is important. I often mean just all of them, but if I was really kind of drilled on it, then I'd actually say, no, the kind of true shitcoiners are not the lost souls that are being scammed because they have high time preference and want to try and win the lottery. The true kind of shitcoiners are those that, you know, maybe recognize Bitcoin's true scarcity and true value and want to peddle scams to people that don't know any better because it's a way that they can... In a lot of cases, legally, make a lot of money, you know, in a very unethical way.
I think you bring up a good point. That's very important. The distinction, I guess, of the
and
type
Bitboy
of shitcoiner.
Is in that second category. Bitboy is very much that second category.
Oh
right?
Yeah, he's, absolutely.
He's a there's soulless shiller, isn't he? Like there's
but,
no.
But this is the thing, right? He validates that shilling is validated by the very fact that there's a couple of people, there's a few people that have quote unquote been made millionaires. So all of a sudden, this validates the fact that you get paid to fucking sell projects that go to zero. What about all those what about all those people who lost everything that they had? What about those people who are starting again from scratch? To me, those people are worth more than the few people that you made into a millionaire.
I was actually thinking maybe the few people that he made into a millionaire were his family members and friends who were actually in on the pump and dump rather than actually anyone who watches the channel as an outsider.
Just think about it.
Because once again, it's all about insiders, right? Shitcoining.
Absolutely. Think about it, right? Like I said, we're gonna show the number, you know, the numbers, what he gets paid to shill the shitcoin. So imagine this. You have a company that approaches you. You know that you're going to get paid by them to shill it. You know that you have millions of followers. Are you really not going to dump your bags on them? It's ridiculous. It's exactly what he's doing. Anyways, even if he doesn't say that he's doing that, I couldn't care less. It makes no difference. I'm sorry. You know, like it's just you're not going to convince me that you're somehow, okay, you're shilling shitcoins, but yet you're not dumping on your listeners.
Should not be sorry. These guys should be.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Anyways, this is like beat into the ground. All right, BitBoy, you're wrecked. And we are done with the numbers, and we are going to move on over to
the Hopium.
The Hopium is brought to you by Represent. Check them out, representltd.com. They are official sponsor of the show. I'm wearing the t-shirt version of the hoodie that I always wear. Check this out. Nice quality. Very, very nice design. Whoa, wrong side of the camera. And they've got all different types of designs for all different types of styles. Check them out. Great quality, great threads. RepresentLTD.com.
So, Phil, what you're saying is wear Represent, they'll be impressed. You'll look like you went to a tailor. The clothing is number one. Just ask Sailor. There ain't no second best.
Dude, you just dropped a bomb. RepresentLTD.com.
.com.
All right, everyone. This week for the Hopium, we've got a great little thread from Coinbits, which we are going to dive into right now. I didn't hear about this, so I am definitely in the camp of did not hear about this news from the FASB. So let's dive right into it. Here's the thread from Coinbits. Last week, the most bullish Bitcoin regulatory event in 2022 so far took place, and it flew under the radar of many Bitcoiners. Guilty.
Can I just pause you there? The reason why regulatory events don't come on the radar of Bitcoin is because Bitcoin is actually censorship resistant at the state level, and so regulatory things aren't the priority. Whereas for all of the shitcoins, that's the only thing they have to pay attention to because they are all, you know, censorable. So yeah. Anyway, back to the story, Phil. Sorry.
No worries. The Financial Accounting Standards Board, FASB, decided to require companies to measure cryptocurrency assets at fair value. This is extremely bullish. The FASB in the U.S. is a federal regulatory agency that establishes the standards for financial reporting in the U.S. Those standards are known as Generally Accepted Accounting Standards. Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or GAAP for short. They're created to ensure accurate and acceptable accounting practices and provide transparent information for investors and are meant to help prevent accounting fraud. Every publicly traded company has to follow GAAP accounting and their GAAP abiding P&Ls, that's profit and loss, are generally published quarterly. So P&L is profit and loss statements. Don't worry, people. This is all going to make sense. It's all going to make sense in a minute. Here we go. Up until last week, the accounting treatment for Bitcoin was to classify it as an indefinite intangible. What does that mean? Indefinite intangible. Indefinite intangibles also get accounted for in a unique way. They're not classified as investments. When their value declines, according to GAAP standards, they were, prior to last week, treated as an operating loss to the core business. In an interview last year, Saylor gave an example. Imagine you have a business that makes $100 million a year, but in that year, you bought Bitcoin and it trades down for an hour, then comes back up. You would GAAP report that year as an operating loss, even though your business is A-OK. So now, as an outside investor looking at such a company, you'd have to dig deep to understand why a business that is actually running perfectly well to produce a sustainable profit yet shows an operating loss. Or, in reality, what most investors do is see negative and stay away. That's right, because most investors don't have enough time to dig into the nuance. They look at the surface numbers. If they look good, then they'll continue to dive in, most likely invest, or if they look bad immediately, they aren't going to scratch below the surface, they're just going to move on, at least for the most part. Anyways, the theoretical case that indefinite intangible accounting is meant to capture is if you sell the Bitcoin at the absolute lowest possible price that year, even if you don't actually do that, and account for it as if you have. Talk about a hurdle for adoption. So for the people who don't understand, essentially what happens is that your Bitcoin in that case is valued at the lowest price it traded at that year, whether or not you sold it. Okay? Whether or not you did anything with it as a business. So, to put a bow on this, let's work out an example with some math. If you have a company that buys 1 million worth of Bitcoin, it trades down to 500K, then goes back up to, say, 2 million that same year, and you don't sell it, you just HODL, your profit and loss would reflect a 500K loss. So, prior to last week's announcement, the only option facing such companies was to create pro forma P&Ls that are non-GAAP P&Ls, where you would line by line show that it is not in fact an operating loss. So there's two issues, however, with that approach. Number one, you've made an investor's life 100 times harder. You know, to a certain extent, red tape is always fantastic for paying for more services. Anyways, they now have to read all of this additional explanation to figure out what's happened. Your profit and loss statements, this is number two, your profit and loss statements are non-comparable over time and when attempting to compare companies to each other. With last week's FASB decision, companies can now use fair value accounting for Bitcoin. This allows companies to report the losses and gains immediately and treat Bitcoin and shitcoins as traditional financial assets, no longer like indefinite intangible assets. Unlike indefinite intangible asset rules, fair value accounting uses current market values as the basis for recognizing assets and liabilities. This removes the undue burden and accounting nightmare described above of companies wanting to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheets. Okay, so look. Why is this hopium? This is hopium because it's very reminiscent to me of the 2018-2019. The bull run and then subsequent pullback. Because I remember we were sitting at 10K and there were all these cheerleaders telling us, look at all the institutional investors that we have coming. Look at all this great news. Bitcoin, the Bitcoin fiat price is bound to just turn around from one day to the next. And we don't know when. Now keep in mind, we proceeded to go from 10K down to 3.5K after that. Okay, that is what ended up happening. Now, of course, it's not the same landscape. We did not have the hash rate at all-time highs when that occurred.
I first bought about like 7K, something like that, on that slide down.
Yeah, and that's when you caught.
That's when I came in for the first time.
So, yeah. And you'll remember, right? At that time, there's all this.
Maybe not
really
quite that, but I remember there being like an immediate 20%. My first like ever smash buy, there was immediate like 20% dip afterwards. I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta buy more and lower my average buy.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. That's why they say Bitcoin humbles you, right? Because you buy the dip, and then it dips again, and then you buy the dip.
And then it keeps and it dipping. Dips again. Yeah, so you gotta keep doing those dips, boys. Like, yeah,
right. Those work it out, you know. But look, why is this hopium? Again, this is hopium because what it does is it helps the legacy money get more comfortable with Bitcoin. That's what it does. Do I personally
yeah, but what
do
you
I give
think
a shit
about the legacy money though? Fuck the legacy money, Phil.
Exactly.
Right?
We don't really give a shit. This is what they don't understand about the parallel. So, you know, there's multiple schools of thoughts, right? You've got a bunch of people that sit there and they just want NGU, right? They just want immediate NGU. They don't give a shit. It doesn't matter. But some of us, although we really do appreciate NGU, we also really like the FGU, right? The freedom go up technology. And of course, those two are really
that was
closely
fuck you
tied.
Go up, Phil.
What's up?
I thought that was fuck you go up.
No, that's freedom. That's freedom go up, Walton.
Yeah, but what's the difference?
Ah, good point. Good point. That's right. Maybe there isn't much of a difference. But
no,
look,
but seriously,
the point...
I think the free, like true freedom is the ability to do what you want and say fuck you to people who object. It's as simple as that.
The point is that there's
like,
a lot.
Not if you're, you know, just being a bad person, like not that, but like, do you know what I mean? Like at the end of the,
yeah.
They call Bitcoin fuck you money because you can do with it what you want.
And that's what really matters. That is really the crux of it. Okay. Is that it's this money that the government didn't create, that they can't control, and that they can't coerce. And this is very important. So you know what? I'll take this hopium. I appreciate it.
Phil, if you're a high net worth individual, why do you need to use these institutions to
you don't.
Buy Bitcoin or hold it? Or like, you don't. Bitcoin is for use without custodians and intermediaries. And so I think it's, yeah.
This is part of the illusion.
As per usual, you know, we've got to take this with a little bit of salt here.
Look, it's no secret. The institutions are gonna become, for the most part, completely irrelevant because you can self-custody. All right, you can't self-custody your stocks. You know, once upon a time, you used to get a stock certificate. Now, again, I'm not comparing stocks to Bitcoin. That is not the same thing in any way, shape, or form. But it is an asset. Okay, so we will use that point of view to illustrate this. So back in the day, you used to get a stock certificate.
But guys, if you're a listener and you're a shareholder of Bitcoin and you want to speak to the CEO, just call Phil and he'll answer all your questions. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna talk to the board of directors. I spoke to my people. No, but look, you used to get a stock certificate. You got something tangible that you could then go and redeem. They've since taken that away. All you have are IOUs of IOUs. So at the end of the day, you don't custody your stocks. You don't custody your bonds. You don't custody any, you know what? The only thing you can custody is physical gold, right? Physical metal. If that's what you want. But as we've explained in the past, we all know that gold had its time, right? You can obviously fake gold. Nobody's going to accept gold, and it's not very transportable either. Okay. Everybody, right. for some reason, everybody gets caught transporting that shit.
You could hold physical cash, but there's more and more, restrictions on that from banks. And even if you were to do that, that would be a pretty terrible move anyway.
Good luck bringing 10K of cash across a border. You know what I mean? Anyways, my point is that Bitcoin is where it's at. Okay. And this news is hopium because it brings the legacy money a little bit closer to understanding, or at least being able to dip their toe in the Bitcoin waters. All right. We'll stick to it like that. Okay. Anything, any last thoughts on this, Walton, before we close out the segment?
No, I think that's it. That's good. Good for me. Good for me.
All right, everyone. We are going to move on over to the Shitcoin Corner.
And the Shitcoin Corner, of course, brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. That's CryptoCloaks.com. Over at CryptoCloaks, you can buy a whole range of Bitcoin accessories. Here you see my beautiful assistant modeling the Honey Badger and Hodlnauts helmet. You can buy a whole range of these 3D printed goodies. You can see inside Phil's Honey Badger, he has the FUD dice. You could also store a signing device in there if you so wished. Once again, that's CryptoCloaks.com. And if you use the code PlebUnderground, you will get 5% off all goodies. So, Phil, this week on the Shitcoin Corner, there's kind of one main story that I want to talk about, and it's something I've talked about a few times, and that is the person that I consider the biggest enemy of Bitcoin. That is kind of known, shall we say, as an individual, in part because he's trying to enrich himself through shitcoinery, but then also essentially bribe politicians for a multitude of reasons. One, to keep himself out of jail, seemingly, but also to build a regulatory moat around his shitcoin business. And so that man, of course, I say man, of course, it's an overgrown, you know, boy that's rather overweight as per usual, but it's not BitBoy this time. This time it's Sam Bankman-Fried. And yeah, he's campaigning for a regulatory moat around his business. Let's have a look. This article brought to us by Rekt.news. So, after aggressively farming many of DeFi's most lucrative opportunities since the summer of 2020, SBF is now suggesting his own industry standards, many of which go against the entire concept of decentralization. So in a recent post, he said that a set of standards that we in industry could enact to create clarity and protect customers while waiting for full federal regulatory regimes. Sam says we need customer protection, but from who? Just a brief public service announcement. FTX customers have been seemingly need of help for a while, and we've known that Sam is a fan of lobbying the government, and he's bribing politicians on funding campaigns for politicians on both sides of the aisle, especially a lot of money to Democrats recently. He's made a lot of money in a whole bunch of ways, especially in the DeFi arena. And he's now essentially campaigning that, and again, it's such a misnomer, right? DeFi really stands for degenerate finance. None of this is decentralized, but Sam wants it to be even less, you know, decentralized. He wants it to be like Solana, and you know, turn it off, turn it on again. He wants to run it all, and he believes that all front ends for DeFi would need to become registered broker dealers with KYC obligations.
You ever notice that it's all just words?
Yeah, it is all just what I like. I recheck Coinery stuff, and sometimes halfway through, and I can be reading it, and I'm not even hearing the words that I'm saying because there's like a kind of funny filter that blocks out shitcoin word salad gibberish. Yeah, and somehow it works even when I'm reading it out myself. Nonetheless, here we see Sam essentially trying to ring fence parts of an industry that he's already doing well in. Of course, he runs a big KYC exchange, and he's campaigning for essentially any platform that does DeFi to be run by a KYC exchange or a KYC broker dealer. It's essentially the same thing. So I don't really see how they're they weren't decentralized to begin with, but now he's wanting them to be even less decentralized. What do you think? What do you think about this, Phil?
I just want you to read what point number 8 was on that.
Let's go back. Sorry.
Yeah, let's read point number 8.
It's extremely important that on-chain code and DeFi remain free and open and uncensored.
Do you see how it's all just words for them? You see how it's all just words for them? Like, what does that even mean? None of that is free and open if he is the one running the show. Okay, so look, and just so you know, I just wanted to point out, Walton, in response to that wrecked article, so obviously, right? He does not appreciate getting called out on his BS. And this is the thing, right? Like, villains rarely see themselves as villains because they're enriching and empowering themselves. So, you know, he sees himself as quote unquote winning. But look, what people like him do not understand is that we are here for rules without rulers. We are not here to be part of the Sam Bankman-Fried circus of shitcoinery, okay? And just to point out, okay, I'm actually going to be probably doing a clip on this. Shout out to Lucky Redfish. Sent me this really interesting link about some stupid new first layer that obviously pretends to do the same crap as Solana, pretends it's going to pretend to be the Ethereum killer. And of course, who is one of the main backers of this garbage? SBF and A16Z and Coinbase Ventures. And look, all of these people are not, forget about enemies of Bitcoin. Forget about enemies of Bitcoin. These people are enemies of humanity. They want to be
weasels, right, though,
the
Phil.
Next power structure. They absolutely want rules. and they want to be the rulers, and they want to make sure that they are the creators of those rules.
Yep.
Fuck Sam.
They're Fiat Maxis. Fuck them.
Honestly, they're like Fiat Maxis. This is nonsense.
Phil, we've seen this for years in a bunch of different industries. In the Fiat world, these big companies get built, they then have huge debt-fueled growth, and then they ring-fence the industry, locking out all competition that could actually do what they do cheaper. And it's utterly insane, and they are, yeah, I think, sorry, not only is Sam doing this, he's then, you know, campaigning, you know, against proof of work, and again, I think he shouldn't be underestimated. We are at war here because proof of work is being misframed, and it's being misframed by people with deep pockets who have their feet in the doors of some powerful people, guys. So please go out, preach the truth about proof of work, because we need more people to understand why it is so special and why it is so necessary.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. I obviously did not make that up. said by somebody way smarter, and this is exactly what it is. Look, we can't misunderstand this. I think that people need to take a step back and really appreciate the levels of megalomania that it takes, okay? For somebody to have as much power as they do, as much wealth as they do, and still desire significantly more, okay? Still desire significantly more. It's not enough.
Phil,
he wants to control the entire narrative, okay? And you know something? Talking about controlling narratives,
because again, these guys are Fiat Maxis. Fiat is confiscatable, and the power structures in the Fiat world aren't so rigid, and so they have to, once they get to a certain size, fight for their survival by essentially bribing various people. And he's kind of at that point now. He's actually in a kind of survival game where he thinks he's probably being chased, and he's going to get caught for what he's done. And so now he's actually almost like a man on the run, not a Doquan, so to speak, but you know, he's still on the run nonetheless.
Is there any real evidence that he actually helped any of those companies? Remember, like, everybody was all, not everybody, but all the shitcoiners were cheering that, oh, SBF, yeah, he's coming here to save the day through his fund of whatever.
We looked at that. It was just
right?
A merry-go-round. It was nonsense.
There's no actual, like, he didn't actually help anyone, but the narrative is
he helped himself. He helped himself.
Right? I mean, he obviously helped himself, but the narrative is, hey, he was here to the rescue. Now that information, that news is done and gone. And look, here he is stepping in to help build the regulatory framework because, right, they want to make sure to protect the investors, even though, as you pointed out in that Wrecked article, right, if people who decide to go back and dig through it, Wrecked HQ had to go and help out people that were victims of FTX, of the FTX exchange. So these people, this is the same. It's exactly what you said about the fiat nonsense, right? This total hypocrite brain where it's like, we are going to help the little guy, but at the same time, you are part of the scamming machine. You cannot reconcile this. This cannot be reconciled. And yet you've got people like this that just live in an alternate reality. He scares the shit out of me. Don't get me wrong, man. The mental gymnastics, they absolutely scare the crap out of me. Anyways, I digress. Anything else on the developments from SBF?
I just like to say one further thing from the bottom of my heart. Fuck shitcoins.
Absolutely right. Fuck shitcoins. And if you feel like we do, smash the like, subscribe. Fuck the shitcoins. And guys, that wraps up another episode of Pleb Underground. Don't forget to like and subscribe our show. Don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. We are also on Rumble, just in case YouTube decides to get a little crazy. You could find all of our content on Rumble. And of course, if you want to stream us stats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You could stream us sats through Breeze.
Very cool.
Okay.